From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thanks for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you once again from Greenville, South Carolina, to let the Bible speak some more upon the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking again at John chapter 1, at the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. Before that, we'll have some gospel music, and even before the music, we'll have our hot topic for today, YouTube madness. Many of you will never have heard of YouTube. The brave new world of high-tech gadgets has left you behind, and you may not be able to tell an iPod from a peapod. I don't blame you. And yet we do well to stop and take note of what's actually happening to the current generation of Americans, and not just Americans, but people almost everywhere. YouTube is an internet site where people place their pictures and videos, especially those that are shocking, provocative, pornographic, or violent. Rick Warren's infamous report from Syria showed up on YouTube. So have explicit celebrity pictures. But more and more ordinary people are demanding their moment in the limelight of internet stardom. So they post pictures or videos of themselves doing outrageous things. There have been videos of gangs of preteen and teenage boys viciously beating up some hapless victim, and it seems that those who can get themselves noticed on the internet doing such things gain extra points with their peers. Now the girls have joined the violence. A gang of young girls shot a video of themselves setting upon a lone girl and giving her a savage beating, repeatedly kicking her in the back of the head. And for no other reason than to gain a fleeting notoriety on YouTube. We may be tempted to dismiss this as typical teenage folly. It's much more than that. What we're seeing is the inevitable results of the takeover of the social and educational system by people whose agenda is the destruction of every vestige of Christianity in society. These are the people who have pumped rebellion and the denial of all absolute truth into millions of young people, questioning even the validity of speaking of right and wrong, and who have assured them that evolution is true. We're not created in the image of God, but are just a step removed from brute beasts. If you sow that kind of moral corruption in young minds, you will certainly reap a harvest of unrestrained degeneracy. This is precisely what we're witnessing today. What's the answer? The awful truth is that there is no ready-made answer. Clearly, parents must get back into the lives of their children. They must make sure that they govern their education and not give them up without supervision to the revolutionary indoctrination that masquerades as education in many schools today. They need to get a handle on what their children are watching. The steady diet of TV, porn, and violence, to say nothing of the crazy video games that most kids play, is bound to derange young minds and desensitize them to the sufferings they inflict on others. Most of all, parents need to realize that they cannot live godless, self-centered, hedonistic lives and expect to have any moral authority with their children. When kids grow up seeing their parents cheating on their spouses, binging out on booze and drugs, or selling their souls for money, they will interpret it as license to do anything they want. Until the homes of America once again become places where God's word is honored and obeyed, and where families actually worship together in a bond of true Christian love, we will never break the downward spiral of our youth into the pit of corruption. YouTube is just one symptom of the problem. The tragedy is that many Americans would prefer to endure the loss of their children than to embrace the remedy.
Dear Savior, Thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat Thy name and lift my heart to Thee. Thou art the sinner's friend, so I Thy friendship claim. A sinner saved by grace, when Thy sweet message came. Mine, 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 I know Thou art mine. Pardoning voice I heard, and joy and peace came in while listening to Thy word. So let me sing Thy praise, so let me call Thee mine. I cannot doubt Thy word. I know that I am Thine. Mine, mine, mine. I know Thou art mine.
Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is
1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Now it's time for us to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 1, to continue our study in the first disciples who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been disciples of John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus received the testimony of John. We have been looking a little at what that testimony contained. And today we pursue that subject a little further. So now let's turn back to John chapter 1. Secondly, John attributes not only precedence to Christ, but he attributes pre-existence to Christ. In verse 15 again, he said, "He has the precedence over me, even though he's in human terms younger, and he's come after me as to his ministry, yet he has the precedence." Why? Because he was before me. He was before me. Now, understand what John was saying. Everybody could see it. He has just said, in human terms, I'm older than he is. I came first. But he existed before I did. That's what he's saying. He was before me. Again, he makes the same statement in verse 30. After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John, in other words, is witnessing to something so profound that his hearers could not begin really to grasp it. But it was essential that this witness be made. There stands one among you whom ye know not. When you get to look at him, as I pointed out last week, he looks like a man. He is a man. You talk to him like a man. You interact with him as a man. He is a man. And while he's a true man, do not lose sight of this fact, that there's more to him than meets the eye. He was before me. He existed from eternity. This is one of John's first great witnesses
to the essential, eternal deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus steps out on his public ministry, he acknowledges the truth of that witness and he receives it, because it is the very revelation of God. Apostates very often say that Jesus never claimed to be God, that that's something that was dreamed up by his disciples later, that it's something that especially Paul imposed upon the simple message of Jesus, the man of Nazareth, that Jesus never claimed to be God. These men are not only liars, they are fools. You read the gospel narratives, and Jesus claimed to be God. And nowhere more clearly than in his dealings with the first disciples, given what John had just said. What kind of a person would it make Jesus Christ of Nazareth if he acted on what John had said and expected others to act on what John had said, if all the time he himself didn't believe it? He certainly set himself forth to be the pre-existent one, the eternal one. As John said earlier, the Word incarnate. Then John the Baptist said that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, understand what this means. John says, I baptize with water. That water signifies certain things. Obviously, it signified cleansing. Water is a purifying agent. It signified cleansing. I think if you take the whole Old Testament witness on this subject of purifying water, starting way back with Numbers chapter 19 and going right through, you'll see that John's baptism as a purification was a separation of people unto God, a renewing of their hearts and their minds and their wills. It was the symbol of a new heart and a new relationship. They had repented and they had got right with God, and it was sealed and signified by their baptism. Now he says, I baptize you with water. That's the symbol. But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the reality. You see, it is not baptism in water that unites a person to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, namely the body of Christ. It is the baptism of the Spirit that makes a man a Christian. It is the baptism of the Spirit that is regeneration, that is the true circumcision of heart, that is the true purification of soul, that is real salvation. It's a spiritual work. When you externalize salvation and you reduce it to rites and rituals, whether it's baptism or eating and drinking the bread and wine at the Lord's table or any other external ritual, you're missing the whole point. Those things are all very important, but they're merely symbolic. John is saying, I do not have the power to regenerate you, but he does. I do not have the power to wash your soul, but he does. I do not have the power to deal with your sin, but he does. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's what Christ acknowledged. I'm the one who can give reality to all that was symbolized in the ministry and baptism of John. And then, of course, John said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. Twice he says it. Verse 29, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it's a present tense. It's not a prediction. It's not a promise. It's a statement of fact. Look, the Lamb of God, who is now taking away the sin of the world. Remember what I said when we looked at the baptism of Christ? The baptism of Christ was a baptism of repentance for sin. It was a baptism in which the Lord Jesus, in His own words, began to fulfill all righteousness. It is a baptism in which the Lord Jesus took our place and stood in those waters of baptism before God, confessing our sin, bearing the guilt of our sin, repenting perfectly of our sin, hating our sin, but there standing as our substitute, standing as our Savior. Even at that time, He was bearing our sins, and He was bearing them away. It wasn't just on the cross that He started being a sin bearer. Oh, that's the great culmination. The baptism was a symbol of death. The cross was the reality of death. But the testimony is the same, and it's one and complete throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Our Savior is the Lamb of God. That's what John's saying. Understand why He was baptized. Understand why He started His ministry with a symbol of death and resurrection. Understand why He's the Lamb of God. Jesus accepted that designation. Here we have the ultimate fulfillment of that great prophecy and promise that Abraham gave to Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 8. God will provide Himself a lamb. And God did provide Himself a lamb. John said, there's the promised lamb. There is God's way of salvation. There is God's sacrifice for sin. There and there alone is the answer to the world's sin problem. Jesus acknowledged that. And then John testified that God the Father has received Christ from the Father has received the stamp of authenticity by the baptism, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him, the coming of the Spirit like the dove. Verse 32-33, John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I knew him not. John is confessing, until this time, I did not have the identity of the Messiah. I knew him not. I could not identify him. I'm not saying, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think it would be almost incredible that John's parents hadn't told him of the visit of Mary to Elizabeth. Be incredible that he had grown up never hearing a word of those early events of his own birth and the birth of the Lord Jesus. I think he probably did. But what John is saying is, I could not, on the testimony of Zacharias, say that is the Messiah. I can't, on the testimony of Mary, say that is the Messiah. I can't take the testimony even of my own mother, who told me that I leaped in her womb at the very presence of the mother of Jesus. I can't make that the basis of my identification. But God spoke to me. And God said on him on whom you see the Spirit descend, on him I place my stamp as the Messiah. He says, I saw the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. I didn't know him, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus accepted that testimony. And this is something, we're not going to do it today because it would take too much time, but this is something you can trace in the ministry of Christ, especially here in John's Gospel, where he said, I have a greater witness than the witness of John. I have the witness of God. I have the stamp of the Father upon me. And the works of power by the Spirit whom I have received without measure. Those works are the stamp of God. They're the proof of my Messiahship. So the Lord Jesus accepted and rejoiced in this testimony of John.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.